Spring into savings with Spawn Tub Spring Extravaganza. Vacation every day with your own pool for only $30 a month. Check out our swim spas, jog, row, or swim. Get the exercise or relaxation you need. We are your spa connection and the only local spa manufacturer. You get a low price guarantee and the superior service you expect. It's worth the short drive to save hundreds. Come see us.
The great escape without leaving home. Spa and Tub Manufacturers.
I got my daughter's hair looking tight, so we hopped in the car and went to Mickey D's to celebrate. I did my thing with these braids meal.
There's a meal for every moment on the McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu.
Enjoy a tasty McChicken biscuit or chicken McGriddles. Get two of the same or one of each for just $3. Prices and participation may vary. Single item at regular price cannot be combined with combo meal.
Chronicles Radio with myself, Julia Siracusa, and Philip Siracusa. We are broadcasting live from UFO Paranormal Radio Network on 107.7 FM and 105.3 FM from New Orleans.
Wow.
This evening's show is sponsored by Carnation, so we want to thank them for their sponsorship. And you will have a few things to do in order to participate. So go over to the YouTube channel, United Public Radio, and get into chat. Subscribe if you haven't. You can also go into Facebook stations and Twitch.
Wow, that's a lot to read at one time, but you did really good. All right, so everybody, Phil Siracusa, Julia Siracusa, Horsefly Chronicles Home, Horsefly Chronicles Radio. So what we're going to do on the first segment is actually tell you how we got started. And going forward, we're going to bring you the best guests around the world. You see, paranormal phenomenon, the supernatural, the unknown, we all want answers. There's a lot of mysteries out there. And I can tell you for one thing, as an experiencer, for me and my family, it is true. Some of these things are real. They are hard to believe and sometimes digest and get the concept of, wait, we're not alone, or there's such thing as ghosts or demons or angels or aliens. You know, in a world where everything is energy, everything is possible. So what we're going to do really quick is we're going to tell you a little bit about ourselves. And then going forward on each segment, Monday nights, you'll get to catch all the new guests. Like I said, it's going to be great because we ask the most intriguing questions. We want the most solid answers. And that's what the show is about. It's a learning show. We want to teach. We want to learn. And we want to help other people within the field, some of the things you may be going through that you want answers to. So how did you get started?
Okay, well, I'm an empath. I'm a sensitive. I would definitely say I'm more of a paranormal researcher than an investigator. And I got started. I actually grew up in a haunted house in Staten Island, New York. And the house was haunted. Before my parents bought the house, there was a man that owned the house that died there. And he was he was not a nice man. So he was a really, really bad man in death. I mean, in living, and he was a really bad man in death too. So he would really torture all of us kids. And you know, when I was about 5 years old, I started really, really, really seeing him, and to the point where I really had to block myself out. So you know, growing up, I always knew that things were going on in the house because I would overhear my family talking about it, but I just started just to block everything out because it was so traumatic.
You know what's interesting is that, really quick, is what interesting is she's talking about this man in the house. Now, when I met Julia in 1999, I remember one night I slept over in the living room all alone, and I had my big boy pants on.
Yeah.
But what happened was this. Without even talking about paranormal or anything like that, you know, I just met the girl. But what did happen is I did see a tall, thin man, elderly, with a rough complexion, a little bit of a beard, and like he didn't really groom himself or cut his hair. And I seen the apparition of him. I didn't see the full body, but I could make out what this man was looking like. And he looked right at me, and then I thought I was dreaming. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that she says this. And a lot of this stuff is in our memory banks. we block it out, right?
Yes.
You don't, you think like, well, it's the subconscious mind. It's really not happening. But when someone else experiences it, like myself, in someone else's home, then you have to say, wait a second, I think I should talk to her about this. I mean, did I, you know.
Yeah. And
did I meet the Addams family?
You did. And I remember just not even wanting to talk about it at all. And in fact, I think my mother talked more about him to you than I did. I just did not want to even go back there. So then in 2010, we bought this house that we live in now. And as you know, I would say maybe a few years in, you feel really, really felt like things were going on here. At that time, I was so busy with our four kids that I didn't even pay attention to any of that. So he started having teams coming here. And a few years into this, I would start slowly getting into the whole investigation process. And I guess that during that time is when I really started to, I would say, unblock.
Yes.
I would say unblock. And, you know, it was a scary time. It was an interesting time. And, you know, a lot of people always do say that these gifts are a curse and a blessing at the same time. So at that point, I was really happy to be able to see these things. But then it was taking me back to when I was a little kid. So
your memory bank is bringing you back
exactly
in life and say, wait a second, these things are true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened to me.
So behind us really quick is the Horsefly Chronicles poster. People want to know where the name Horsefly Chronicles come from. How did this all start? Was this a true documented haunting? And the answer is yes. So once again, I'm born and raised in Staten Island, New York. And at a young age, I remember having night tremors. Not nightmares, there's a difference. Night tremors is when you wake up and you're shaken with cold sweats and you're actually still seeing the apparition from the dream state itself.
Yeah.
And I would see these demonic looking figures. And, you know, back in the 70s, well, I'm kind of old, right?
Yeah.
I'm kind of old. But back in the 70s, if you told your parents you see a ghost or a demon, you get slapped and told, go back to bed. Yeah. You know, that's exactly what was going to happen.
Your family.
So, yeah, you didn't really talk about it. But the truth be told is this. When you're young and spirits know that they're able to communicate with you, like you're a lighthouse, like there's that connection, they will. And most of us are lighthouses. We just don't realize it. And, you know, people say, well, look for the signs. And that's the truth. Look for signs around you. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that you're going to see something full-bodied that's going to talk to you. But if you look at the signs around you and maybe you lost a loved one or someone that you wanted to speak to that's crossed over many, many years ago, there's a possibility that if you do observe and have an open mind, you'll get what you're looking for. You'll get those answers.
Yes.
The robin, right?
Yeah.
I'm just talking about the robin, red bird.
Mm-hmm. We see them.
And those are sometimes the signs. I think that birds for me is a sign.
Flowers.
So again, the 70s, I was having this. In the early 80s, I started to see dark shadows appear from nowhere. And again, it's, you know, grew up in a great neighborhood from New York, but it's hard to tell friends, hey, I'm seeing dark shadows. You know, they think you're crazy, period. But I was seeing them, not often, but when there was a lot of fighting and tension around, these things would appear. And again, it's not a full body apparition. It was like these dark, misty shadows that come from the corner of the eye and then they disappear. But what started to happen is I felt like there was a static discharge of energy. This negative energy, like after a lightning storm, I would start to feel that shockwave a little bit. And what was actually happening was whatever the dark shadow was getting stronger within my life in the physical world. So it wasn't up until the late 80s, really quick summary is that I had a friend and his mom worked for detectives helping to find missing children as a psychic. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to speak to her and I did. And I remember one day going into the home and sitting in the living room. And the funny thing is she goes, you can't sit on that chair, but there was nobody there. But she says, well, there's someone there, meaning a spirit. And I wasn't actually, at 19 years old, I wasn't grasping that. And she took out a Ouija board. Mm-hmm. And she goes, but you don't touch this.
Yeah.
and I didn't touch it. I sat across the room.
Scared?
I was not scared. I was just unsure of what to expect with a Ouija board.
Right.
But ironically, she was talking very fluently through this board, through the planquette, to my uncle, who I crossed over years prior. Now, she doesn't know my uncle. She doesn't know his name. But she did know through the board. Mm-hmm. And not only did she know that, he had a message for my aunt to stop. She was really smoking heavy, and he wanted to get the message out to her through me, is if she doesn't stop, she's going to wind up where he is soon.
Right.
And that he watches over. And then the planquette on the board started going really fast counterclockwise. And she stopped the session and she ended it with a prayer. And I asked her why, because she felt like an unknown spirit was coming through that did not have a good presence or feeling towards her as the psychic and the empath that she was. So from that point on, I think the spirits really knew, hey, this guy knows how to communicate with us. We've been with him since day one in the physical world. Now we're really going to make contact with him. So I started to fall into, I want my own Ouija board. Mm-hmm. I want to do it with friends. And
was that a good idea?
It was a horrible idea, but you don't know. Mm-hmm. And again, back in the late 80s, I found myself pulled into, wow, I'm getting answers from the other side. Who am I speaking to? And some people may say, well, the Ouija board is not harmful. Look, it's the intent process behind us that once you let that door open, maybe sometimes you will communicate like this lady did with a good spirit, my uncle. However, through trial and error, I can tell you that you must be careful, because if something else comes through that you don't want or expect, it can haunt you.
Yes.
And that's exactly what happened to me. I not only was pulled into that world of darkness through the Ouija board, but things started to happen that should not happen. For example, the board would tell me a car accident would appear with one of your friends. And not everything it said was exact, but I have to tell you that most of the stuff coming through was real, and it did happen. And what that led me to believe to this day, and I'm 54 years old, this is what I could tell you. You may not see the spirit. You may not believe in a spirit, but don't think for one second they don't watch and hear you, because they do. Yeah. The way we pray for people in the hospital who are sick, mm-hmm. we pray whatever we believe in, God or whatever that symbol is to you, your intentional prayer for that person to get better. Well, I can tell you that it's the intention part. It's that one strong word that opens up the gateway to the unknown. So we must be careful when we do that. And I found myself really getting pulled in. And then people ask me, well, where did the name Horsefly come from? Where did it come from?
Good question.
So in the year 2002, I worked for a lawn care company in New Jersey. And I remember measuring up lawns and getting these bad feelings. And all of a sudden, this horsefly would appear out of nowhere. Now, look, on lawns, of course, there's horseflies. You know what I know it. Regular flies, horseflies. But what was different is I would have to travel back an hour to go back to the office in South Plainfield, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I notice it sounds far-fetched. This horsefly would appear on my windshield.
I remember these stories.
And I would go home with, like, this is impossible. It can't be happening. Maybe there's some sticky stuff on the windshield that's attracting this thing, right? Like honey, or maybe an insect died on there and another horsefly just looks alike, you know?
I remember the phone calls.
But at that point, you see, it uses a symbol, the other side. Now, this spirit just so happens it wasn't good. I'm not going to say spirit, I'm going to say entity, because spirits are good. So I'm going to say this is an entity that I didn't know. I was being pulled into. Now I'm seeing this a few times a week. It's happening, but it's circling me like it's diving at me. So that's the sketch in the beginning. And up until the year of 2013, I was working for a cable company in New Jersey. careers change, right?
Yes.
And I was talking to a couple of coworkers, and I was explaining to them that there's things happening in my home that should not be happening. And I remember one of them saying, well, you know what? You need to tell the world, write a book. And I was like, I can't write a book. But we'll help you write a book and get the story out there. So this is one of the most interesting parts of the Horsefly Chronicles case. Okay. I agreed with my coworkers to come out with a book, and it came, the Horsefly, because the Horsefly suddenly and mysteriously appears in the dead of cold. I'm not going to say it appears in the home, but I'm going to say it appears outside most of the time when it wants, but it's saying like, I'm watching you. I started to write the book, but when I was going back to New Jersey once a weekend at a friend's house, and we were recording the story, and I was telling it from what I remember, how my life started, through adolescence, through my teenage years, and going through all that stuff. Now, there were two other coworkers who agreed upon this, and I says to them, I want you to understand one thing, that I feel for certain. If I tell this story, things are going to happen, and it may be because we're being led down the path of dark waters. I can't say for sure, but I could feel like if we do this, but they were insisted, do it. We'll help you get the book out and edit it. And so let it be that I started recording it with them in New Jersey as I'm telling the story on a video recorder. The three of us are in the backyard on the deck. And in the background, we're playing a song that something just told me to play, Ave Maria. It's a beautiful religious song. Oh, and I don't know what told me to play this song, but we did, as it's being video recorded. Within 5 minutes, each and every one of us felt like this weight just came over us that was holding us down. And then one of my friends go, my uncle, he's here, but he can't be because he died. And then my other friend's like, wait a second, my wife's sister's here, but she died too. I have chills.
Wow.
And
I love this story.
As the weight's holding us down, like this oppressional weight, they're thinking they see people that they know that have crossed over not too far long ago. I keep continuing to tell the story, and this is at night. A horsefly does appear. Now, I said to myself, I'm one of those people that I say it's a coincidence, okay? It's summer, it's a coincidence, period. After that first session, I went home. I was actually a little bit nervous driving an hour and a half from Cranford, New Jersey, mm-hmm. back to Pennsylvania, thinking like I was being watched. But sometimes it's psychosomatic, you think, you know, you think that. But the next day, my friend calls me and says, there's something in my home and I can't explain it. And I choked it up and, well, you know, we were talking about it and maybe it's just your imagination. We go back to work the next morning at the cable company, and the other friend is saying, I don't believe in this stuff. I don't believe in it. But there was a horsefly on my dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't explain that.
Yeah.
Now, if someone was telling me this story, I would not believe it. I wouldn't believe it at all. But what was actually happening is that sometimes we think we choose the path of telling the story when actually it's the entity mm-hmm. getting ready to tell a story for us.
Yes.
This case has had so many layers. We hired from New Jersey a psychic medium to help us and say, is something going on here when we're telling this and we're trying to get the book written? And she remote viewed my home in Pennsylvania and told me the entire layout without even knowing the address. When she got here a week later, because she wanted to see the home, it was just as way she said it, the basement layout. But there was one room in the basement, she goes, which was our son's room at the time. And she felt like there was this dark presence in that room. But we had made the room for our son when we first moved here in 2010. And her eyes, she didn't look right at one point. Her eyes were getting dark. And again, I thought I was losing my vision. Her eyes are getting really dark. She says, I have all I need here to know that this is a real haunting. And she left. So she continued to promise to try to be the psychic medium. As we write in the book, if any paranormal phenomenon would happen, she would actually dictate it to us and tell us how to be careful and all that stuff. At the same time, she brings in an artist. And the artist comes up with this incredible idea of drawing a major size horsefly with the hand actually coming out of it. It was an incredible picture that he drew for the cover of the book, The Horsefly Chronicles. But this is exactly what happened to them. So remember that person with the horsefly on the dashboard? He says, I can't do this no more. I want out. Whatever this thing is, I feel like I'm being watched. And I don't even believe in ghosts, but I feel like I'm being watched. He pulled out. The psychic medium on the case from New Jersey tried to commit suicide. I got a phone call one day that she tried to drive her car off the bridge. Now, I'm thinking to myself, it's either everybody's going nuts, it's all power of thought, or it's really happening, and this thing is manifesting. It wasn't up until 2 weeks later, the actual artist of the incredible picture of the Horsefly Chronicles tried to OD and take his life. What does it mean? What it means is that once that doorway, that gateway is open, whether we choose to believe in ghosts or demons or whatever it is, if you have the slight belief, it just may be a belief that will last a lifetime. And you have to be careful how you ponder with these things going accordingly, because quite frankly, I was a skeptic. I didn't believe in anything. And at the late 2014, I contacted a paranormal team to come to my home, investigate my home, and tell them what's going on with everybody involved with this case. Long and behold, I didn't know much about paranormal equipment. I didn't know about K2 meters or spirit boxes. I know about it now, but I didn't know anything about this stuff.
Yeah.
They loaded the house up with all this equipment. There was about a team of 5 or 6 people, reputable, on television, people that, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to listen. I don't know, so teach me. Mm-hmm. Am I dealing with bad lighting, hallucinations, and everybody's whacked? Or is it real?
It's Staten Island coming out.
Yeah, it's Staten Island, New York coming out. But what did happen was this. After 2 hours of the investigation going on, one of their psychic mediums were getting very ill. They started throwing up my front lawn. And I said, maybe they had too much to drink the night before.
Yeah.
At the same time, another person's getting scratched in my basement. Now I'm saying to myself, well, is everyone making this stuff up? It was really hard. And at that time, you weren't too much involved.
Like I said, I wasn't.
Trying to
I wasn't involved.
Understand it, but it was happening.
I did not want to have anything to do with it at that time.
And surely enough, this one entity, which we thought was multiple entities, from learning, they caught these red orbs. Now look, I'm going to be quite frank with you. Most orbs are dust particles, water vapors. It is, period. But what was different about this is that some of these orbs would come and then these spirit boxes would go off with the REN pubs going off, with the K2 meters going off, but the psychic actually talking as a medium what the spirit is saying. Now, you can't debunk all that. I've tried, but when you have all these things in sequence, not within an hour of each other, but simultaneously, you have something there. It's like you just caught the big fish. And now who are you talking to? The entity presented herself to be a young girl, a young spirit. And I was starting to feel some empathy towards her, like, you're lost in the physical world through the spiritual world. But long and behold, we were all being set up.
Yeah.
So not only did I not believe that team, because I didn't.
Yeah.
I do believe them now.
But why didn't you believe them?
I didn't believe them because I didn't believe all the, I thought the equipment, one thing could set off another piece of equipment, which it's a trigger effect, right?
Right.
Like you change the cable channel, and then sometimes it's static electricity on another TV or radio.
Yes.
And there's always energy waves going through. So I try to debunk everything. The red orbs, I really couldn't debunk, but I didn't understand at the same time.
Right.
A month later, I contacted another paranormal team to come to my home that had no clue of anyone coming here. And long and behold, they caught similar activity, but one of them actually got a deep scratch and started bleeding in my living room. As she was walking through, she felt like there was claws. Did I believe it? I says, maybe she bumped into something.
Right. Because,
you know, that's just,
you didn't really believe much of anything back then.
But here's where the beliefs started to actually happen to me. So the photographer was in my basement and he says, wait a second. I see this dark thing. It's the size of a basketball. It's a dark shadow and it's flying really quick. I didn't tell him about this thing. I seen it sometimes in the corner of my eye. Guess what? He caught it on film. When that picture was caught on film, it relieved me, and I felt like I'm not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
My eyes aren't going bad, and it's not the lighting in my home. This is real.
Yeah.
That picture sold me that this is real. And the question now remains with the two paranormal teams is, why is this happening? Well, remember what I said back in the beginning of doing the recording on video in New Jersey about the story?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the story was being unleashed. The entity was grasping towards every one of us and watching every one of us somehow simultaneously. I brought on another psychic into the case. And that psychic started to say the most mysterious things that I really couldn't comprehend. There was little bugs coming out of her wall sockets since she got involved with the case.
Yeah.
Again, that was that, you know, really? Is this true? Or are you just trying to be part of a story?
Mm-hmm.
The book was released on Amazon in, I think it was 2014 when the book was released. The day that book was released, The Horsefly Chronicles, I couldn't walk.
I remember that.
Now,
yep.
I could not walk. My leg felt like someone took a knife and ripped it apart. I wound up in a hospital.
Yeah.
My other friend, who was still part of this project, who insisted that we do the book, fell down a flight of stairs in his home and broke his tailbone. His wife fell down the same set of stairs a day later and broke her ankle. Why? Why all the bad things happening as we're getting closer to the truth of what we're actually trying to understand?
Yeah.
Are we being warned off not to get too close to discover what this thing really is, as it's presenting itself as a young, innocent girl through all the paranormal equipment that was developed?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it a demon in disguise playing with each and every one of us like a fiddle? You know, up until today, there have been over 51 documented paranormal teams at the Horsefly Chronicles home. People may ask, why so many? Well, quite frankly, I have a thick head and I don't believe in anything.
It's very true.
And I wanted proof upon proof.
You did 50 teams.
And I got the proof. And it wasn't up until July that just passed. Because you see, when you talk about trying to remove an entity through trial and error,
mm-hmm.
And not for nothing, when we came out with the book and the whole project, there was project managers involved with Horsefly Chronicles. There were so many different people involved. One of the first shows we did, I think it was the second show, was with Dave Schrader, Dr. Schradio. Mm-hmm. And I remember telling the entire story with me, the psychic, and my coworker. And after the show, the psychic says, I have to talk to you. And I remember this. Mm-hmm. Well, she told me, out of someone else's voice, be careful, because I know everything you're about to do before you do it. And I know what you've written before you write it. And she was cold as ice.
Scary.
Her eyes turned black, without exaggeration. And it scared me to the core of my body. It really scared me. Because I asked myself, who am I talking to? I couldn't drive back home to Pennsylvania that night. I was too frightened. And I remember we just sat in that living room, and she was on a rocking chair going back and forth, and she was giving this creepy laugh. Now, this was one of the psychics who got back into this project that tried to kill herself. And I'm saying to myself, why? Why would she be back here? Why? Because what was actually happening is she was being used as a conduit. And the message from this entity saying, Philip, I know what you, your coworkers, and everyone getting involved are doing. Be careful. Sometimes without a person speaking the words, there's mental telepathy. And I felt like I was talking to an actual witch. That's what I felt like I was talking to, just by the look that she had, and very cold. But she wasn't cold. Every hour, it's every other hour, she was coming in and out, like teetering in and out of this multiple personality feeling. Yeah. And the vibration and the negative energy that she threw off in that living room was second to none, because we were frightened. Mm-hmm. I remember driving home in the morning. I slept the next day on and off because I couldn't even sleep. I was scared to go to sleep, thinking that somehow a form of her would appear and frighten me into the sense of a heart attack.
Yeah.
So I remember going to the editor's home the following day with my coworker. It was a release of another book, and to get it edited. As we're reviewing everything,
it was really hard.
The editor is telling us that things are happening in her home ever since she got involved. Mm-hmm. Doors would open and shut by themselves. A fly would appear. But then she said something more bizarre. She says, Phil, there's someone throwing dimes at my window in the middle of the night. And I'm finding them in the home.
And that's crazy because what do we find at that time? We always found dimes before that even happened. There was always dimes everywhere.
And it was a trail.
Yeah.
It was the trail of the entity saying, I'm watching. You can't hide from me. Well, this was a good editor. She backed off the project. She was frightened for her mm-hmm. family, her kids, and herself. I tried to convince her otherwise. But she pulled out. Do you know that before the case got known, as the book is being written, there was over 10 people involved with helping us, assist us in all directions. And I'm talking, I had a publicist in New York City. I was paying $600 a month because I wanted people to know my book and the truth that it really does exist, paranormal phenomenon. The publicist who I'm paying quits after 2 months because she says she can't take whatever's in her home.
Yeah, I remember that.
Something is scaring me. Now, when you're paying someone that kind of money and they back off, it starts to rattle you. We found another publisher. It didn't work out again. Mm-hmm. It didn't work out. Now, these are people that you're paying. So if anybody wants to grab your money and run, they'll do it. But these are people that say, no, we can't do this.
No one would ever last long on this case.
I met with one of the most well-known sports editors and authors in Freehold, New Jersey, to help me with another book. After telling her some of the story of the Horsefly Chronicles and what's happened in my life, she wanted a lot of money, and she goes, I will think about it. And the money was in the realms of $40,000 to $50,000 that we would have to raise because she was so known to come out with this book for us. 2 weeks later, she goes, I want nothing to do with this. Do you believe in ghosts? She says, no. Do you believe in entities? No. But I do know that whatever is here with me should not be. Goodbye. And I never heard from her since. Entities are way ahead of us. I don't give them credit, so I don't want to go there. But what I can teach the world, and I know these radio shows going forward, when we bring our guests on, is that they know already. They already know. Whether we choose to believe or we don't, did you ever go somewhere and you had an argument with somebody, and you don't know why you're arguing with them?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you know what I know and what I've learned? If you do a paranormal investigation and nothing happens and you don't get any evidence, and you think, well, this was a waste of time, be careful of those words and your intentions, because it just so may be, that's happened to me and many other people I know, that the entity will use a person you don't even know. You could be online at a register. You could be walking through a park. You could be arguing with another person driving, road rage. It could just be the entity going into that person and making them wanting to fight you or harm you.
Yeah.
And that is the truth. It's not just going into the home and saying, well, if I don't see anything and I don't capture any pictures, there's nothing here. It doesn't mean that they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
A spirit is one thing. A spirit will communicate, as we learned, nice waves, giving you good feelings and vibrations, and letting you know, hey, I can hear you. The entities play different. They have a different set of rules. They will use people around you, family fights,
yes,
cousins, relatives. They will isolate you. They will make you null and void, depressed, as if you want to take your own life. That's their mission, to drain you like a battery, take everything out of you.
Yeah.
You know, through all these teams that have been to my home, and I've been on hundreds of radio shows, I could tell you, I was probably the most skeptic, hard-headed person, not believing in any of this. But it's true. It does exist. It is real. If we think it, there's a possibility that it can manifest through the thoughts.
Yes, definitely.
And here we are today doing this show. Okay, now this is years later in the making, wanting the people to know that we want to help you. We want you to learn, too. We want you to listen to what we talk about, because we do raise a lot of questions that people want answers to.
Yeah.
Do you know that in the last 7 years, through my experience of trial and error, I was able to talk 4 people out of taking their own lives? Now, that's a big statement.
Yes.
That makes me feel good.
Yes, definitely.
People who didn't want to live anymore. And it doesn't just have to do with paranormal experiences.
Mm-hmm.
They were done with life. Living a life in a haunted home and dealing with everything I've dealt with and seeing tragedies around me, I know the truth is that we're here on this short journey for a reason. It's not only about us, it's about helping others, giving positive energy to other people. Life isn't easy, and recently each and every one of us has been put in the lion's den with the virus that transcends throughout the world. We have to help each other, we have to learn from each other, and we teach each other about our experiences. So those that have questions and the mysteries of, do things really exist that I cannot see? The answer is yes. Horsefly Chronicles Radio.
Now let's get to know.
Is going to bring you a wide range. We're going to make you laugh. We're going to make you cry. Mm-hmm. We're going to make you learn. We're going to take your questions after the show. You could personally message us. I will help you if I can.
We will.
I don't know everything, and I can't tell you personally.
You always forget that I'm sitting here.
An entity, because I can.
No. No. Definitely. But we're going to get to a lot of things. True crime, past lives, so many things. And we, like Phil said, we really do get to the heart of the questions. And we're going to bring you a lot of fabulous guests.
Most definitely. I created a Facebook page, Philip Syracuse. It's one of my three pages, but this page was different. This page is about people who had near-death experiences, people who've crossed over and came back to tell their stories. Now, these are people that were clinically proven to be gone. No heartbeat, nothing. Now, why do I do that? Because I believe living this life of the supernatural and the unknown, when people cross over, they talk about the tunnel. Mm-hmm. They talk about the light. And they talk about seeing those that they knew and even people they didn't know on the other side. But what they also talk about, how this ties into paranormal, is that they have a 360 degree of everything around them at the same exact time.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? That means that when a person crosses and one person is in the hospital praying and the other person is 10 hours away in another state and another person's in another country, you ask the question, well, can they hear and see all of us at the same time? And they can. And they explain that through the near-death process. What they also explain is that they see these balls of light, these energies of light, which I would believe are the true orbs, the true circles of energy of life before full manifestation. And they're able to take in all the feelings and vibrations that we put out. So it goes back to, once again, as I explained earlier, intention. If you have a strong intention on your belief, your prayers sometimes will be answered. And if they're not answered, I could tell you that these people that have crossed over, they explain why certain prayers are not answered, but you'll understand when you get there. Mm-hmm. And they don't call it heaven, they call it home.
Right.
Because it's the true nature of where the soul goes back to. How they explain it is, there was never a beginning. There is no end because we're energy. We've created everything that we are, that we see. We make things solid. We make this through the mind. We never, ever truly die. The physical part of us dies. But the energy and the essence of who you really are, and not your name, but your soul's energy, always goes on. And they say one thing. When they meet their creator, the creator would ask them, what have you done for your fellow man? It's not about taking, it's about giving out and doing the best that we could do for each other. Through paranormal experiences, dealing with dark, dealing with positive and white, when you really find yourself and try to balance, you understand how we coexist within a world that was created by our thoughts. Horsefly Chronicles Radio, you know, we're going to bring you everything going forward. And of course, there are always more questions than
answers. There are answers,
So let me ask you something. You know, up until today's day and age, the guy that you had seen in a childhood home that I seen.
Yes.
Do you ever see him again?
No.
Why?
I think he's attached to that house. I used to think that he would follow us, but as we started doing so much research on the house, I do believe that he built the house, so he's very, very, very attached to that house. And he was just
So then we're talking about residual energy.
Yes.
An energy of, I built it, it's mine. Exactly. It's my blood, sweat, and tears into this property.
Exactly. Yep. Bingo.
And, you know, on my shows in the previous, I always ask the question, well, because of near-death experiences, why would a, and the other side is so beautiful, why would a person choose to be earthbound in their own dwelling, why won't they leave and move on? Is it because the paranormal investigator just wants to seek evidence that he or she believes themselves, which really doesn't exist?
Yeah.
Or is the truth that it's residual energy and the spirit itself can come and go as it pleases? You know, that's a question where I find the answer to be that it's free will. The near-death experiences, when they do talk about dying and coming back, most of them, probably 98% of them, don't want to come back here because the other side is no pain. It's full enlightenment and it's the feeling of ecstasy and pureness. Mm-hmm. And they get to see people that they love and they feel the trueness of love for what it really is. However, because of free will and the way we lay it out through our minds, what I'm understanding is that the spirit chooses to be earthbound, mm-hmm. where there's no time in the physical world. We've created it. They can be there as long as they want.
Yes.
Some of these haunted locations around the world that are very haunted, I've been to a lot of these places and I've caught things that, yeah, this is children in these locations. These are people that were experimented on through medical practices. These are insane asylums that still remain with the echoes and the cries. But is it really those that became deceased at these locations?
Yeah.
Is it the residual energy of them that we're hearing through time? Or is it our thoughts and our own minds saying, wait a second, it's real because we make it real. And
definitely.
We're able to manifest things that we cannot explain. Again, there is a lot more questions than answered in paranormal.
Oh, yeah.
But I can promise you without a shadow of a doubt that it does exist. You know, people's stories like my own, it's bizarre and it's crazy and it's not truthful and aliens don't exist, but they do. Ghosts don't exist, but they do. Demons don't exist, but they do. You learn this when you put your heart and soul into this and you get these experiences going forward in life. And I always tell people, you know, when they're investigating my home or people look up the Horsefly Chronicles, I say, don't take my word for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't. But can you disprove everybody else that's going through similar activity, maybe in their own homes, behind their own doors, or in their own dreams? You can't dismiss and debunk everyone.
No, you cannot.
So we always ask, well, where do we go after here, after this journey? The journey continues, my friends. And that's what we're going to bring you. Horsefly Chronicles Radio is on a mission to teach,
yes.
to learn, take questions, and help.
And to spread that knowledge.
With that said, we are coming to the closing of the first premiere show,
yes.
debut, my Julia and I.
Yep.
We love all of you. We want to thank this station for letting us do this.
Thank you so much.
We want to thank Carnation for sponsoring the Horsefly Chronicles radio show. That means a lot to us.
Yes.
And we're going to do our best to make you very happy. So with in closing, Julia.
Okay. Well, you guys, you can catch us every Monday night, 8 EST, 7 Central. And that's it.
And now we're going to be on a show, the second part of...
Oh yes, Miss Laurelie Pulverton. We are going to be on her show.
So yeah, try to catch
exactly
her
where you are.
Yeah, try to catch that show because that's the sequel of the first show we did a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago. I'm talking about everything about this case, the Horsefly Chronicles. And now there's a lot of follow-up questions that people have. And we're going to follow up with that. Everyone, thank you so much. Be safe out there. Have a safe night. Thank you once again, Carnation, and to the station. We'll see you soon.
Have a great night, everybody. Thank you.
We can sum up McDonald's new crispy chicken sandwich in one word. Crispy, but also juicy and tender. Okay, it's crispy, juicy, tender, all one word. But then, also pickle. Oh, and potato bun, which is two words. Okay, we can't sum up our new crispy chicken sandwich in one word, so you'll just have to try it to understand it. Order ahead on the McDonald's app at participating McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I got my daughter's hair looking tight. So we hopped in the car and went to Mickey D's to celebrate. I did my thing with these braids meal.
There's a meal for every moment on the McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu.
Enjoy a tasty McChicken biscuit or chicken McGriddles. Get two of the same or one of each for just $3. Prices and participation may vary. Single item at regular price cannot be combined with combo meal.